Right, we'll call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record please reflect that it is 3:31 p.m. on Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. Please let the record also reflect that we are joined today by Senator Bishop, Senator Stevens, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Rivak. Senator Michiki and Senator Von Imhoff should be on their way joining us in a bit. They had other work going on here, as it's a busy time. I'd like to recognize Representative Kronk. Thank you for joining us today. Staffing the committee is my aide, committee aide Betty Tangeman. Our LIO moderator is Alex Banizak, and we have Christopher Dickrell online from Records. Thank you all for your work. Please silence your cell phones. Today on our agenda, it'll consist of four governor appointees. The first three folks, Michael Flores, Peter Buist, and Aaron Bloomquist, have been appointed to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. This board functions, the board's function is to license and regulate the activities of providers of commercial services to big game hunters in the interest of the state's wildlife resources. Up first, we'll have Michael Flores from Soldotna. Mr. Flores was initially appointed to the licensed transporter seat on May 21st, 2019, and his term expires on March 1st, 2023. And Mr. Flores, if you could please put yourself on the record, give us your name and a brief introduction, information about yourself and personal background, and why you're interested in serving. Sir, when you're ready, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, Senators. My name is Mike Flores from Soldotna. Been here just a little over 30 years. My wife, Catherine, and we have three boys. We have three different businesses, mainly fishing charters, fishing and hunting, and one lodge, and then we have a farm, a peony farm. Been involved in fisheries for the last 7 years with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council and the Halibut Commission. And we've been a marine transporter for hunting on Kodiak for the last 19 years. And so very passionate about hunting. That's what brought me to Alaska. I came up as a guide pilot and guided and flew in the bush, and then took a job with Mark Air. And we know how that ended. And then sidestepped and went back to guiding. And here we are almost 30 years later. We have a staff of almost 30 people, six of them year-round, and 10 boats in five locations on the Kenai Peninsula. But pretty passionate about the hunting. I felt like this would be a good fit for me with the Transporter Committee, and that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Flores. Do we have questions from members of the committee? So I have a question. Mr. Flores, if I remember right, you have quite a bit of military experience in your family. Is that right, your kids?
Yeah, so all three boys, Marines. One was a Marine security guard overseas. Second was a tanker. And the third one is still in. He is with a unit out of New Jersey. He's a crew chief on a 53, and he just re-enlisted.
Well, that's fantastic. Please thank them for their service. And if I also, if memory serves me right, you've done a lot for wounded veterans and using some of your as a guide, you've done things to help. Is that right?
Yeah. So as a transporter, we've done disabled soldier trips. We work with Military Warrior Support Foundation out of Texas. And with there's a chaplain actually at Fort Hood, and they pick all the soldiers for us, and then they take care of their airplane tickets. We take care of everything else once they get here, their hunting license, their tags, and then we take them out for a week and on Kodiak and see if we can't get them a deer and kind of get them, you know, kind of engaged back in life. Some of these guys that we take haven't done anything since they got back from Iraq or wherever they were stationed or when they were wounded. And so it's really good. I mean, it's after just a couple of days, you know, it's just amazing the interaction between my staff and the soldiers.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for all you do. That says a lot about your character, I think. I have one last question, then we have some questions from other members of the committee. So I'm curious, what have been the challenges thus far that you've seen on the board, and what has been your approach to help resolve them?
So the transporters, there seems to be, you know, just some ongoing issues of, you know, who is actually transporting, you know, when do you have to become a transporter, and then I know that, you know, some people would like to just get rid of the whole transporting issue. It does create problems because we're, as far as a marine transporter, we're right up against the line. You know, we house them, we feed them, we take them to the beach, and we pick them up with their animal, we bring them back, they take care of their own animal. So, you know, working with the troopers in Kodiak, I think we need to strengthen some of that. You know, we've had discussions already about some of the issues that the troopers were having down there. And in Southeast. So I see some work to be done. There's just some ongoing issues that I think we can address.
Thank you. We have a question from Senator Bishop.
You covered it, Senator Chair Reback.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Flores. Thanks for your willingness to serve. All right, next we'll move on to Mr. Peter Buist of Fairbanks. He was initially appointed to the public seat of the Big Game Commercial Services Board on May 21st, 2019, with his term expiring March 1st, 2021. He has been reappointed, and if confirmed, his term would extend to March 1st, 2025. Mr. Buist, please place yourself on the record and give us a brief introduction about your personal background and why you're interested in serving.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Pete Buist. I live in Fairbanks. It's been my home for nearly 50 years. I have a couple of degrees, one in biology from Syracuse and one in environmental resource management from the State University of New York. I'm in a public seat, but I'm a retired Alaska Master Guide, as well as being retired from a 30-year career with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, where I worked as a land manager, forester, and wildland firefighter. I guided in Alaska for over 40 years in many areas of the state. I served back on the old Guide Licensing and Control Board, and Governor Cooper appointed me to the Governor's Task Force on Guiding and Game in 1988. Representing the old Guide Licensing and Control Board, and out of that task force came the legislation which established the first Big Game Commercial Services Board. And ironically, when that was authorized by the legislature, I served a couple terms on that. In 2003, I was appointed by Governor Murkowski to the Alaska Board of Game, and I like to think that I bring interesting balance of knowledge and experience to the board. Aside from my biology background, I understand and have worked in the guiding industry for many years. As I said, I've served on regulatory boards. I've worked at DNR, and I'm familiar with how land management agencies operate. So I'm in a public seat, but I know a whole bunch about this stuff.
Thank you, sir. That's fantastic. It sounds like you have a lot of experience. And I guess I'll ask you the same question. What has been the biggest challenge thus far on the board, maybe as it relates to current times, and how do you intend to deal with them?
Well, for me, it was catching up. There was about a three-year hiatus between when I retired and gave up my master guide license and when I woke up one morning suddenly appointed to the board again. And I had a lot of catching up to do. There have been mostly regulatory changes, a few statutory changes, and the way the board operates now is very, very different than it did before. In terms of issues that we deal with, virtually all of them are challenging. Probably the most challenging one for the last year has been trying to test and query new guide applicants when we, you know, weren't allowed to be in the same room with them. It's been extremely challenging, and I think between the staff that we have that support us, and they're an excellent bunch, and the other agencies that we work with, I think we've done a pretty good job with it. We still have a number of issues to deal with, and it's never a dull moment on this board. And, you know, I go on to it thinking, well, I have a lot of guide friends. This is going to work out okay. And I end up with more guide enemies than friends when I'm done.
Well, thank you. Any other questions? Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Hey, Pete, it's Click. Thanks for putting yourself up again. Your reputation and track record precedes you, and I'm just glad that you're stepping up to the plate. And if Uncle Ron was still here, I'd ask him for a good question to ask you, but we can't do that. So thanks for stepping forward.
Thank you, Senator Bishop.
Any other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Busta, thanks for all your work for the state over the years. It's quite a resume. I do have to ask kind of the question that the Big Game Commercial Services Board's a regulatory board. You talked about examining applicants, and I know you can hear complaints, so some of that gets quasi-judicial. A question was raised to me about fairness and whether everybody can get an even shake and a fair hearing. And I think Mr. Buist is probably based on some of the public stuff you posted online about smarmy, slobbering sycophants. And I guess the question was, how do you tell us, and I'll quote you here, a slobbering, orgasmic liberal, that's the end of the quote, from the regular kind?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I have no idea what you're talking about. I do use social media once in a while. I'm not sure if what you're talking about has anything to do with the Big Game Commercial Services Board, but since you're taking it out of context, maybe you could tell me a little more.
Mr. Chairman, just in follow-up, y'all, had somebody send me some social media posts, was concerned about, I guess, the character issue and the ability to hear folks fairly and consider the issues fairly on the board, if that's a public approach.
Through the chair, well, I still don't understand what possible connection this might have to this board. But I guess when a person who's trying for a license comes before the board, we have specific things that we test for and query them about. And, you know, in all my years on the board, I can't ever remember anyone being asked if they were liberal or not. I think I see what you're trying to do, but I still don't think it has anything to do with this board.
So thank you, Mr. Buist. So have you ever been accused of being biased in your long history of service?
Biased about how I performed on a board?
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, thank you. Do you feel that biases will play a role in how you act in your service on the board?
I don't think it has. I don't think it will.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions? All right. Thank you for your time, Mr. Buist. We appreciate your willingness to serve. Next, we will hear from Aaron Bloomquist of Palmer. His appointment would begin March 1st, 2021 and expire March 1st, 2025. Mr. Bloomquist, when you're ready, if you could please put yourself on the record and give us a brief introduction about your personal background and why you are interested in serving. You begin when you're ready, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Rivak and members of the committee. I thank you guys for considering my nomination to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. For the record, my name is Aaron Bloomquist. I live in Palmer in the winter and Copper Center in the spring, summer, and fall with my wife, Angie, and three kids, Tyler, 11, Samantha, 9, and baby Lala, who just turned one. We operate Alaska Outfitters Unlimited and Fishing Bug Charters. We provide guided hunting for almost all of Alaska's big game species and fishing charters in the Copper River drainage and sightseeing tours for Princess Cruises when, obviously not recently, but when they're up and running. We have a hunting concession in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Wilderness and also in the Wrangell St. Elias National Preserve Wilderness. And we also operate hunting services on Otna Native Corporation lands in the Copper River Basin. I really believe that all of us that use wildlife resources in our professions and otherwise for that matter should give back as much as possible. I've spent tons and tons and tons of time on committees and boards and meetings. And like Mr. Flores, I also have a passion for getting veterans in the field. We've hosted, I don't know, somewhere around 60 disabled veterans over the years. About half of those guys, you know, were missing limbs or pretty severely disabled on hunting trips. You know, I spend hundreds of hours a year working on wildlife issues in Alaska and have for the last couple decades. I've served on numerous boards and conservation organizations and state and federal sanctioned committees. I just really believe we should all participate in public service, and I'm honored to be appointed as one of the two licensed guide representatives to the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and I'd appreciate your support, and we'll take any questions.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Bloomquist. Questions? Yes, Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your comments, Mr. Bloomquist, and talking about potential financial benefit, saying that maybe two or three votes annually out of 200 votes where you'd recuse yourself. Could you explain that a little bit more? When would you have to recuse yourself?
You know, I wonder if maybe you're not looking at when I applied for the I'm sorry, I'm a little bit informal there, Mr. Chair, or through the chair. I wonder if you're not looking at my application for when I applied to be a member of the Board of Game. Not sure that in a commercial services board setting I would ever have to recuse myself. Almost everything we do has to do with my profession, but that's the point of me being on the board. So I actually applied for both boards, and that was probably in reference when I was initially applying for the Board of Game.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom, because I understand now, looking at it more closely, that you applied for two boards, and this comment on recusing yourself would be in reference to the Board of Games. So thanks for clarifying that.
Thank you. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bloomquist, I really appreciate your resume addendum. Your full transparency on a unfortunate shot. I happen to enjoy shooting a bow myself, and that had to be a rough realization, but I appreciate the fact that you had the integrity to cover that, even though it was not required by the application process. So I want you to know that I really respect that and appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Senator. That means a lot, and we should, I guess we probably should all just be open with all this stuff, and there'd be a lot less gotchas probably.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I can ask you offline. You must have had your setting at 90 pounds plus, so you're probably a bigger dude than I am.
I'm not. It was only 70 pounds, and it just happened to miss all the ribs.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Senator Michicki took the words right out of my mouth. Well, not the ones about the bow setting. But I did have a question. You mentioned in your materials, Mr. Blomquist, about some of the work you did trying to protect wild sheep from pathogens and proposals to the Board of Game. I realize this is a different board. Can you talk to us a little bit about whether the Big Game Commercial Services Board is involved in any way in some of the discussions about pack animals and protecting wild sheep populations? And how you would work on that?
Yeah, sure. Hopefully I don't spend too much time on this question, but through the chair, I was one of the founding members of the Wild Sheep Foundation in Alaska when they came back here, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I guess. And I know the Commercial Services Board has commented in the past on the MOV issue, Mycoplasma ovipennae, that we're worried about getting into sheep. And I'm not sure that it's a real good fit to work on it a lot, but I definitely have worked behind the scenes and continue to work behind the scenes on that issue and really any other conservation issue. You know, I think I drafted the proposal that kind of brought it to the forefront with the Board of Game, and really there's, you know, I've taken some heat over that proposal because it was a bit of a hammer to get the discussion going, but that was the intent of it. We've been sitting on the issue for 20 years or more, and I'm not as involved in it as I once was. You know, the Wild Sheep Foundation, Kevin Keogh and others have kind of taken over working on that, and there has been some progress. But I'm glad to see that it's moved along, and you know, I'll do what I can to help with it for sure.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Mr. Blomquist. Any other questions? Well, I guess I'll just echo again, thank you for your service to the community in so many different ways. And like the others, thank you very much for your willingness to continue to serve in this capacity. Do you have anything you'd like to say before we move on?
Nope, just thank you guys for spending your time down there on Juno 2, and thanks for your consideration.
All right, thank you, Mr. Blomquist. All right, we are going to open up public testimony on all three candidates. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone online who would like to provide public testimony to either Mr. Flores, Mr. Buist, or Mr. Blomquist?
Yes, this is Wayne Kubat from Wasilla.
Hello, sir. Could you please restate your name and whether or not you're for or in opposition to these candidates, and continue with your testimony, please, under 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Wayne Kubat. I support all three candidates. I'm a 45-year Alaska resident, and I've lived in the Matsu Valley since 1984. I earned my registered guide license and started my own guide business in 1986. I'm serving my ninth year on the board of directors for APHA, and I'm the current vice president. I'm speaking on their behalf today. Thank you for allowing us to testify. According to our third McDowell report on Alaska's guided hunting industry, which was just completed this past January, there were 420 master and registered guides in 2019, and 250 of those contracted one or more hunts. Only master or registered guides can be professional members of APHA. Our professional membership is over 170. Roughly two-thirds of all contracting Alaska guides are professional members of APHA. In addition to master and registered guides, there are 640 assistant guides for a total of 1,060 guides. The Big Game Commercial Services Board is critical to our industry and the guides that they represent, and also the wildlife resource and the Alaska public that they serve and help protect. It is important that we get good candidates to serve on the board. APHA is very appreciative to Mr. Flores, Mr. Buist, and Mr. Bloomquist for being willing to serve. We support all three of them. Mr. Flores holds the transporter seat on the board. We have watched him participate in several meetings since being appointed last spring and are impressed by his knowledge of the transporter industry and his contribution to the board discussions and actions. The same goes for Mr. Buist, who currently holds a public seat. As evidenced by his resume, Pete has been around a long time and has been an active participant in many public arenas, and we feel he is very knowledgeable and will be fair-minded in regards to all issues that concern the Big Game Commercial Services Board. As a guide industry representative, APHA is most concerned with the guide seat, and we feel Mr. Bloomquist is an excellent choice for that seat. He runs a reputable guide business and has a wealth of experience throughout the state with most every conceivable type of operation. He is very knowledgeable and has been very active in the Board of Game process for many years. The same goes for the Big Game Commercial Services Board process. It would be hard to think of another candidate who could hit the ground running faster than Aaron. He's willing to work hard, and he's just a darn nice guy, too. Personally, I'm honored to call him a friend. We encourage and hope you will forward all three names for confirmation. We feel it is an excellent slate of nominees. Just a couple brief tidbits on why the guide industry is important to Alaska and why the Big Game Commercial Services Board process is important to the guide industry. Only 3% of all big game licenses issued in 2019 were purchased by guided non-residents who on average pay 36 times more for licenses and tags than do residents. Despite its small footprint, the guide industry brought in $57.4 million new dollars to Alaska. It also provided 1,890 jobs and donated meat valued over $2 million. The majority of both meat, both jobs and meat donations occurred in rural areas. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cube. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you be so inclined to ask the gentleman if he could provide the committee with his testimony? I'd like to have that.
Absolutely. Sir, did you hear the question?
I did, and I will, for sure.
Thank you. We would appreciate that if you could provide that to our office. We'll distribute that to the committee members.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your time, your willingness to come and give your testimony.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else online who would like to testify? Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? All right, seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. Are there further questions or comments from committee members? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the following named appointees to the Big Game Commercial Services Board be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Michael Flores, Soldotna, Peter Buist, Fairbanks, and Aaron Bloomquist of Palmer.
Thank you, Senator Marchicki. Is there an objection? All right, seeing no objection, the motion passes. For the record, in accordance with AS39.05.080, a signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. And we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Back on the record, thank you, members of the committee. Next, we will take up the governor's appointee to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Commissioner Jeremy Price was initially appointed October 7th, 2019 to March 1st, 2021. If reappointed, his term would expire March 1st, 2027. The mission of AOGCC is to protect the public interest in exploration and development of Alaska's valuable oil, gas, and geothermal resources through the application of conservation practices designed to ensure greater ultimate recovery and the protection of health, safety, fresh groundwater, and the rights of all owners to recover their share of our resource. Since Commissioner Price has been in his position since October of 2019, I'll ask that he provide us with a brief personal history and maybe spend a little bit more time sharing his experiences and accomplishments since joining the commission and maybe where he intends to go from here. So please, Commissioner Price, if you could put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you, Chairman Rivak. My name, for the record, my name is Jeremy Price, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to testify before you today. As you noted, in October of 2019, I was appointed as the public commissioner and chair of the AOGCC. These past 15 months have honestly been the most enjoyable of my career. I'm truly humbled to work with such experienced and dedicated professionals. And I also want to say thanks to the governor for this reappointment. As you noted, I'll skip quickly over my personal history. I will say that first and foremost, I am an Alaskan, born in Fairbanks, raised in a homestead in Salcha. I have an undergraduate degree in business from Utah State University and a master's degree in government from Johns Hopkins University. And I've spent my career in public policy roles in the U.S. House, U.S. Senate, American Petroleum Institute, Americans for Prosperity, and more recently in the Office of the Governor. And I've spent my career working on solutions to problems facing Alaskans. I've always enjoyed representing Alaskans and advocating on their behalf. But out of any issue I've worked on, oil and gas has been the most enjoyable and the most interesting and rewarding to me. Over the past 15 months, I've taken a very serious and dedicated role to this, and I've tried to represent the public as best I can. During my short time at the commission, I've been instrumental in helping the commission transition to a digital application system. Until last year, the commission only accepted paper applications for permits to drill, submit geological surveys, well data, well workover sundries, and applications for underground injection. All applications and data were submitted in paper form, usually in duplicate. With COVID pushing us to change to a safer and more efficient process, we fully transitioned to digital, which really increased AOGCC efficiency and also reduced costs to the operator. AOGCC's longstanding goal is to process permits to drill within 10 working days. Prior to the conversion to electronic applications, the percentage of permits to drill that were processed within 10 days was around 64%, and after the switch to electronic, we increased that to 80%. A year ago, we were expecting one of the most active drilling seasons in years. Unfortunately, those drilling plans were scaled back due to economic factors related to the pandemic, resulting in a 53% drop in permits to drill last year compared to 2019. Well interventions only declined by about 8%, and a big reason for that is because Hillcorp stayed very active throughout the downturn, consistently and frequently repairing broken wells. With respect to other big top-line items that we keep track of, oil production was down in 2020 by about 4%, or 7 million barrels compared to 2019. One big reason for this is the production cut over the summer and into the fall somewhat. In terms of enforcement and compliance, despite the challenges associated with the pandemic, last year AOGCC inspectors still managed to perform nearly 6,000 inspections and witnessed tests, which is slightly above the annual average over the last 10 years. Looking ahead, there's a few items I'd like to note. With respect to industry activity in 2021, we're expecting activity to stay pretty flat. And with respect to regulatory changes, we just finalized a change to our bonding regulation that provides more time for operators to meet the new bonding amounts. Thus far, two operators have sued over those bonding amounts that went into effect in 2019. and the Department of Law is handling those cases. But the change in the regulation that we made was we provided greater time for the operators to comply with the new bonding amounts from 4 years to 7 years, and then we adjusted the amounts to make it a little smoother transition as you increase in the number of wells that, that an operator has. The OGCC is trying to better understand any risks associated with production wells that have not undergone a mechanical integrity test since the well was completed. So we're working with operators to try and better understand what data is out there in terms of how frequently, how often, or when the last time a well has undergone a mechanical integrity test at the interannulus. Our concern is with subsidence and erosion and corrosion and how that can affect the integrity of the casing of these wells, especially these older gas lift wells. AOGCEC is also working with operators to proactively address idle wells that have been shut in for long periods of time. And so hopefully we can make sure these idle wells don't one day become orphan wells. So in closing, I again want to emphasize how profoundly grateful I am for this opportunity and how humbled I am by the responsibility of the role. I'm passionate about Alaska, my desire to serve Alaskans, and I'm passionate about the desire or the rights of Alaskans to responsibly develop their resources for the benefit of the people. Anyway, I ask for your support and my confirmation, and I hope that I'll be able to continue serving in this role. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Price. Any questions from committee members? Yes, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Mr. Price, for serving on the commission for the last year. I did have a question if whether you filled out the application to become a commissioner on, under the boards and commissioners tag?
Is that something I fill out again? You know, honestly, I'm not sure. I'll check with boards and commissions, and if there's something that I missed that I was supposed to fill out, I'll be sure and do that.
Yeah, through the chair, I'll just explain what it is. That all the other commissioners or through boards and commissions have a form that they fill out, they send, saying that they would like to be submitted for interest for a specific board or commission. So we have those of the other three, and typically it comes with a certificate of accuracy and completeness, and you affirm that, that everything you say is true and complete. And it's not in our packet.
Okay. I'll look into that and follow up with the committee. That looks like I may have missed that if I was supposed to fill that out. I apologize if I was supposed to do that and didn't.
Okay, no problem. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Price. If you could provide that to our office, we'll distribute. And Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah, so just some really brief questions. So you have about 8 years working for Senator Murkowski and Representative Young in Washington, D.C., a year at the Petroleum Institute, and you are being certified as the public member. But what kind of experiences that are unique to the job do you bring the other two commissioners?
The role of the public commissioner should have an understanding by statute of the oil and gas industry. So my experience on working oil and gas issues in terms of public policy was handled throughout my time in Washington, D.C., and then here in the state when I was with Americans for Prosperity. I also worked on energy issues, you know, frequently testifying in support of various decisions by the federal government when lands were opened to resource development, whether it was MPRA or ANWR or other things. As far as my experience in oil field practices and technology, that was a new level of education that I had not gone through, so that has been a steep learning curve for me. But fortunately, the staff here have brought me up to speed, and it's been really interesting. It's been exciting, but yeah, my experience has been more oil and gas policy at 100,000 foot level versus in the oil field itself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just through the chair, and you got a great letter of support from your fellow commissioner, and both commissioners have a lot of experience on the engineering type level. So I think that's good that you're there. But just one other question: you served as the deputy chief of staff at the beginning of the Dunleavy administration, and you weren't there for very long, and I was wondering why you stepped down.
Through the chair, it was strictly because of this opportunity. I'm a big fan of the governor. I think I was lucky and fortunate to have the opportunity to spend some time with him, and in that role working with the agency commissioners. Even before the governor was elected, I was interested in this role. The person that hired me, the former chief of staff for the governor, hired me in that role in the governor's office. He held this position many years ago, and it's something that I talked to him about. It was something I was interested in. I didn't expect the position to open up as soon as it did, but if the position hadn't been opened up, I had no would not have left. I don't know if that answers your question well enough. But.
It does. Thank you, Commissioner Price.
Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Bishop.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price. Are you in a position to give us just, I know it's you've been there a year now and haven't been confirmed, and you're getting your feet on the ground. Can you just enlighten me or the committee on the legacy wells and where we're at with that and those abandoned wells in the NPRA?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yeah, we've had a good last season. We do work closely with the Bureau of Land Management in taking care of those legacy wells. Our engineering staff reviews those plans, and we try to help in any way that we can to ensure that they're being properly plugged and abandoned. I can provide a little more meat on the bone if you'd like to kind of get an assessment of what was completed last summer or kind of where we are in terms of how many wells we have left. We've got an inventory on file that has that information. I can't recall exactly where we're at now, but every season we do get some of those, you know, half a dozen, several of these wells off the list, and we're continuing to work at it. There's some federal legislation that might be of assistance as well. It was passed by the U.S. House last year. There's a big interest amongst the states. Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission is also very interested in it, and Congress is interested in it, and that is to take care of a lot of these orphan wells in various parts of the country where, you know, drilling started in the mid-1800s, and so there's a lot of wells, Pennsylvania, thousands of them that need to be taken care of. So there could be a national effort that we might be able to dovetail onto, depending how the legislation is written.
Thank you for that answer. I'll talk to the chair offline about a further update. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator Machicki.
Just in interest of information we have about other board members and folks that have been appointed, just want to ask on the record if you have any conflict of interest under either personal, financial, or under the Ethics Act, Mr. Price.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, no, I do not. Do not have any conflicts of interest in this role in any way whatsoever.
And one further question, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicki.
Have you been convicted of a misdemeanor within the past 5 years or a felony within past 10 years, for the record?
Through the chair, I've never been convicted of a misdemeanor or a felony in my life.
And one final, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
On the other form, there's a certification of accuracy and completeness. Do you certify the accuracy and completeness of your comments as well as the resume that you provided for the committee today?
Through the chair, yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Price.
Thank you, Mr. Price. I have a question. Given sort of the agenda of the federal administration related to oil and gas, what challenges do you see in the coming years?
Mr. Chairman, I'd say there's a number of challenges. As you can see, some of this pertains more to the DNR jurisdiction, but its impact will be felt in the OGCC, and that's the level of activity that drilling activity that may or may not occur depending on how policies shake out from the federal government and the courts. As you know, we only have control of so much when our lands are federally managed, and so that's a concern. We hope that Alaskans' resources will be developed in a way that that we can benefit from it, and that activity kind of hinges on a lot of factors at play in Washington. So that's going to be a challenge going forward. I've heard of some talk about, you know, hydraulic fracturing bans and things like that. I think I'm not too concerned with that. The prior administration tried that, and it was struck down by a federal district judge in Wyoming. But there are other ways that development could be impeded. And then more locally, I think ensuring that operators operate safely and protect the public and the environment is something that we want to be real vigilant on. You know, make sure that we get as many inspections of the safety valve systems, the blowout preventers, and make sure that industry is doing what they're supposed to be doing to make sure that everything, that oil field practices are conducted in a safe manner. That's always going to be a priority, the top priority. And then I think just trying to be as fair as possible is to do to adjudicate some of these decisions in a way that Alaskans want us to do it. You know, that's kind of where I see my role, is I'm trying to represent the public in the best way that I know how to. And so when we are faced with a policy call, and you know, you look at the statute, you look at the regulation, and then you try and make a decision. What would Alaskans want us to do in this situation? Certainly, we want to make sure that we don't, as the oil fields decline and leases change hands to smaller operators with shallower pockets than the BPs and the Exxons of the world. We want to make sure that as those wells transition to these smaller operators, that that no one cuts corners. Things continue to be conducted in a safe and responsible manner, and wells that are plugs that no longer have an economic use. So there's a lot of challenges ahead. Those are just a few of them, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Price. I appreciate that. I look forward to speaking with you more in the future. Do we have any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to public testimony. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone online who would like to testify regarding Commissioner Price's confirmation? Seeing none, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is now closed. Is there any final questions from the committee? We're going to take a brief at ease. All right. Seeing no further questions, what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the following named appointee to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Jeremy Price of Anchorage.
Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, the motion passes. For the record, in accordance with AS39.05.080, a signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Please stick around to sign the paperwork. I'd like to thank the committee members for your time today. And as a reminder, our next meeting will be held on Monday, the 22nd at 3:30. When we plan to hear governor's appointees for the Board of Game, actually, Stanley Hoffman Jr., Jacob Fletcher, and Lynn Cogue Jr. This meeting is now adjourned at 4:22 p.m.